pilots.
Can you fly this plane and land it?
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Doctor, I've checked everyone. Mr. Stryker's the only one.
What flying experience have you had?
Well, I flew single-engine fighters in the Air Force, but this plane has four engines. It's an entirely different kind of flying, altogether.
It's an entirely different kind of flying.
Welcome to the Geek Generation, episode 19, back from a two-week absence, or one-week absence. I guess we only missed 1 week. But I am joined by Todd Tiuli of Dangerous Memories. How are you, Todd?
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
I was expecting the other one.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, that's right. So we did take a week off for Thanksgiving, and how was yours, actually?
My Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
It was good. I spent it with Mrs.'s family.
Nice.
It was a good time.
Always a good time. It was actually my nephew and niece's first Thanksgiving this year, and they're about 7 months old now, so they were trying all these new foods and making the new, like, new food baby face.
I'm not going to lie. I thought you were going to say it, and they're 7 years old. I'm like, wow. Strict parents.
No Thanksgiving for 7 years. That'd actually be pretty awful.
They have to grow into it.
No mashed potatoes for you. But the other thing I want to talk about is to quickly plug where we're going to be on Sunday.
Where are we going to be?
You and I heard, are going to be at the South Coast Toy and Comic Show.
It's true, we are.
Yeah. That's this Sunday, December 5th, in case people are listening to this later, which would be too late to actually be at the show. So that would be a problem.
But I'm sure there'll be pictures to look at.
Yeah. We're going to be there, I guess, from 10 to 4. We'll be there at least in the opening. We'll see if we stick around till the end.
Yeah.
But that is at the Seaport Inn and Marina in Fairhaven, Mass. And if you want to get any details on the show, go to www.southcoasttoyandcomic.com. And even though the Geek Generation is not listed there, I will be there side by side with Dangerous Memories.
Yes.
Yes. Also, while we're giving thanks for Thanksgiving, I know I like to bust the balls of the fans and call them lazy and obnoxious and annoying and all those things. But
such a sweetheart.
I know, right? I actually do want to thank all the people that listen to us. I haven't really done that before, but I think it's time to give thanks to all those that actually take the time to listen to the show.
I just did it for Dangerous Memories on my Facebook.
Did you?
Yeah, because today we have more subscribers than we've ever had before.
No kidding.
And I was overcome with gratitude, so I took to the Facebook and I thought, I thanked the fans.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I wish some of my fans would write reviews on iTunes like they do for you.
Well, we have 2 one-star reviews now. It's very disappointing.
Hmm. But they're probably from ignoramuses.
Good call.
Yeah. While I'm thanking people, since I only do this once in a while, we do have some new listeners, too. So I want to thank those people for hopping on board and giving us a chance. I love it when I check out the statistics for the show, and I see someone has downloaded, like, the whole string of them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yay, new listener.
Yeah, I love when I get emails from people saying, hey, only the last 20 are on the feed. Where can I find the first 20? And I'm like, oh, I'll direct you there.
Yeah, I haven't gotten one of those yet.
Yeah. Now that we're on episode 40, we have like a whole 20 that aren't on iTunes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think it only lists like 10 or so at a time, right?
20, I think.
Really? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We're almost at that point. Actually, yeah. I think we are over. Even though this is episode 19, we have some like bonus episodes here and there too. So we've hit that mark.
Yeah, same with me. We've had some bonus things, so we're over 40, but there's only like 40 real episodes, in my opinion.
By the way, Smallville episode of Dangerous Memories, for those of you who haven't given Dangerous Memories a try yet, very good bonus episode if you're a Smallville fan. Check it out.
It's a great episode. That episode got a lot of downloads.
I loved it. That was a really good one.
Yeah, I'm hoping to do it again after the finale.
May I join you?
Please.
I would
please
love do. To. I'm loving the season. It's a little slow, but I am liking it.
Yeah, I am too.
And my last final thanks is to thank all the people that have been supporting us monetarily. Even though the donations haven't necessarily come in directly, I've gotten messages from fans alerting me that they've been using the Amazon affiliate link. I've made about $80 this month off the Amazon affiliation.
That's awesome.
Yeah, between my family using the link, friends using it, and then listeners of the show. So really, I can't thank all you guys enough. Pretty soon, I'm going to be getting some more studio equipment due to that money, and the quality of this show is going sky high.
Sky high.
If only the content would get better.
Like Kurt Russell.
I like that movie.
I do too. I love that movie. I brought it up on a recent episode, actually.
Yeah?
Culpitz and Hector hadn't seen it.
Oh, that's too bad.
I like that movie a lot.
I liked it a lot more than I thought I would.
Yeah, me too. I remember because I was working at the movie theater at the time and it was playing. I was like, all right, I'll go see it. So I went and saw it and I was like, wow, this is a really funny movie.
Yeah. And Kurt Russell, of all people.
Please. Kurt Russell's amazing.
That's true.
I love Kurt Russell.
The other thing I want to talk about before we really get into our geek outs and freak outs is, as Scott Pilgrim would say, Todd, I have beef.
All right.
I have beef because on one of your recent episodes, you made mention of hearing about someone talking about 3D movies and really wishing that there weren't any and saying, well, what's the point of complaining about it? You just can go and not watch it in 3D. And I'm pretty sure you were referring to me and just not remembering that it was me bitching on the show about it.
No, I don't think it was you. I get it. I hear it all the time.
Oh, okay.
It's other podcasts I listen to.
But
if it was you, I would have said it just because I've mentioned you so many times.
I just want to defend my stance because I ran into a situation this past week that involves it. And I really wanted to go see Megamind, but I really didn't want to go see Megamind in 3D because I really found no point in it. And I don't want to pay the extra money anymore. I just don't.
It's fair.
Yeah, I frequent the movies so often that paying that extra $3 every time really starts to add up. So I had to search 6 different local theaters just to find a place that was playing it in 2D. And I guess that's my big beef with the whole every movie's 3D now is when I do want to go see it in 2D, it's becoming a hassle to even go find it in just 2D.
Did you go see it?
I did.
Was it good?
I really liked it, actually.
I was going to say, because no one seems to like it.
For what reasons have you heard? Or just not liking it?
Just not liking it. It wasn't as good as it probably should have been, and it wasn't funny, and so I haven't seen it, so I have nothing to say.
I think my hopes were a little higher than the delivery of the movie, but overall, I still really liked it.
That's cool. I still want to see it. I still really want to see Tangled, like, really bad.
Really?
Yeah. I've heard nothing but good things about it, and I don't know. After being in Disney, too, it made me want to see more Disney movies.
Oh, yeah.
And
absolutely.
And I've heard nothing but good things about it. And so I really want to see it.
How was the Disney trip, by the way?
Oh, it was incredible.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was one of the best weeks of my life.
Best ride?
Best ride. It's a tie, I think. Well, maybe not. Harry Potter is up there being one of the greatest things I've ever done in my entire life. And then I love the Incredible Hulk ride.
There's an Incredible Hulk ride at Disney now?
It's at Universal Studios.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Both at Universal.
Gotcha.
If we're talking just Disney, then Space Mountain.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Is Harry Potter Universal too?
Yes.
Cool. What's the Incredible Hulk ride like?
It's a roller coaster, and it's seriously like the best roller coaster I've ever been on.
No kidding.
Yeah, it was awesome.
What makes it Hulk, just that it's green?
Well, like when you're waiting in line and stuff, it looks like you're in like a lab.
Gotcha.
And there's like, you know, things everywhere, and there's TVs with like cartoon Incredible Hulk things on it. And like the whole time, you know, Bruce Banner is like doing his science stuff. And then, you know how like every roller coaster just has that deep incline?
Mm-hmm.
Going all the way up. Well, this one, you're like encased in what looks like a big gamma ray machine thing. And so like you feel like you're going through the gamma ray, and Bruce Banner is like starts freaking out, and you hear the Hulk, and then it's going slow, and then it just starts shooting. Like you fly out of it. Like you don't slowly go up, you fly up.
That's awesome.
Then, yeah, it scared the crap out of me. And then there's the drop, and you know, you're going all around, and it was just it was incredible.
Nice.
Literally incredible. Oh, man, it was so awesome.
Nice. And Harry Potter, was that a ride or is that just the Harry Potter portion?
There's a whole section that looks like Hogsmeade from the movies.
Yeah.
Incredibly well done. Like, so much detail. Like, you could actually go in Honey Dukes, the candy store and stuff.
Nice.
And you can go in Ollivander's, the wand store. And you can go in the Three Broomsticks, and that's where we ate. And they served butterbeer, and we got a bunch of butterbeer, and we drank that a lot. But then you go into Hogwarts, and not only is it the most detailed thing I've ever seen, like, an amusement park, like, walking through, you see all these, like, you know, things that are just like in the movie. And you go in and Harry, Ron and Hermione are standing there, and it really looks like they're standing there. They're just projected up on the stairs, but it looks like they're standing there, and they're telling you, you know, we want you to fly even though you're a muggle, blah, blah, blah. And Ron's like, here, I'll help, and he swings his wand, and they're like, oh, he made it snow again. And it literally starts snowing in the room.
No kidding.
I don't know how they did it, but snow starts falling down.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and so the ride is just like this combination of being in front of a huge screen and, like, you're flying around and stuff and the wind's blowing. You really feel like you're flying. Like, I almost got teared up. I was like, oh, my God, I'm flying. And then, like,
dream
it
come
turns.
True.
Seriously, it was. It was incredible. And then, like, it turns and there's, like, live action stuff in front of you, but it's so dark and there's, like, a huge spider and it spits at you and just the Dementors that are flying towards you and it's, like, really cold all of a sudden, or there's a dragon and it breathes, like, hot steam in your face.
That's so
cool.
It
was cool. Just, it was the best ride I've ever been on.
I'm not even like the biggest Harry Potter fan in the world, but I want to be in that just because it sounds awesome.
Oh, trust me, you would love it. There's no way anyone couldn't love it.
Very cool. Well, then I guess we should move on to Geek Outs and Freak Outs.
Done.
Aside from the Disney, which I know you're geeking out over, what else are you geeking out over?
Yay!
And actually, it's kind of not fair because it's what I was just talking about, but
really,
Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Just because I love the movies. I'm not ashamed.
Nothing to be ashamed about. They're great.
I love the new one so much, and I went back and I watched the fourth one because I bought that Ultimate Edition, and I don't know. I just really want to see the new one again, and that's really what I'm geeking out on.
I like the new one too, but I actually felt it to be a little slow.
I didn't think it was slow. I thought it was going to be very slow compared to the book, because the book is so slow. I was like, how are they going to make this into a movie that's going to be worth watching? And I think they did an incredible job of adapting it.
Well, see, I never read the book, so.
To not bore the crap out of me.
It was very Empire Strikes Back in the sense
it was so awesome.
Downer, 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 downer.
I can't wait for the second half.
Yeah, I actually can't either. It's going to be pretty amazing. But that's not till the summer.
Like July, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be so epic. Oh, man.
Epic. Any other geek outs?
Yes, actually.
Okay.
A geek out I have right now, because I want everyone to watch it, is Terriers.
You've been tweeting.
I know.
You have been tweeting about it.
It's seriously like the best show on television right now. It's on FX. It's just about like a bunch of two private dicks in San Diego and just like the mishap. Not mishaps, because it's not a straightforward comedy. It's very dramatic, but it's so well done. It's so amazing. It's on FX, and no one knows if there's going to be a second season because the ratings haven't been like terrific. But, I mean, you know, it's so good.
I know it's all just an excuse to say private dicks on the show, though.
Private dicks. That's all I wanted to say.
I know.
I'm ready to go now.
Who's in it?
Donnell Logue from Grounded for Life. I don't know if you remember that show.
I never really watched it, no.
I used to love that show, but he was in Zodiac, and he's been in a bunch of movies.
Oh, I think I know who you're talking about then.
Yeah, I love Donnell Logue. And then, do you ever watch True Blood?
I have not.
Oh, his partner was in the first season of True Blood.
Okay.
And they're both, like, fantastic, and it's, like, I've liked Donnell Logue for a long time, and this show is, like, some of the best acting he's ever done.
Hmm. Are they really, almost really done the first season, or how far in are they?
Tonight's the finale, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Cool. I might check it out. We'll see.
You really, really should.
Yeah.
It's such a good show.
Okay. Comedy, or?
There's a lot of comedy in it, but, I mean, there's also, you know, it's dramatic moments, too.
Ah, it's a dramedy.
Yeah, but I wouldn't consider it a dramedy so much, you know, like, it's not like a... I don't know. It's mixed really well.
Okay.
I love it.
I'll look Terriers. Into it. Sure.
Terriers, watch it.
Any other geek outs?
No.
No. Okay. I was geeking out over a TV show myself because I just sat down and started watching Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Heroes. Have you been watching that at all?
Nope.
It's good, but then I saw the premiere of Young Justice.
How was it?
It was amazing.
That's what I hear.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but DC just knows how to put a good story together when it comes to TV. And it's
Any
been
animated,
said,
I think.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been said on the show before. DC does the animation and the TV side much better, while Marvel seems to get a leg up on the live action for the most part.
Because The Dark Knight is number three highest grossing movie of all time.
Right, right. So
that's
what
I always throw in people's face when they say that. I'm like, listen.
Well, yeah, there's exception to everything, absolutely, but. Avengers feels hollow compared to the Young Justice. Like, I feel so much more in tune with the characters. And it's funny, too, because people always argue that DC's characters are so much harder to relate to than Marvel's because of the the almost godlike icon status of DC's versus the reality science based of Marvel's. And yet when I watch the DC shows, I relate to those characters and feel the depth of their characters so much more than any Marvel show.
What's the animation like?
It's very reminiscent of the Bruce Timm era.
Awesome.
Yeah. It's not as oversimplified as the early Superman animated or the later seasons of Batman animated, but it is, I would say, around Justice League style. Yeah, yeah. Really good. Really good voice acting, too. In fact, Bruce Greenwood reprises Batman.
That's cool.
Yeah, and they have, what is his name, Nathan North, who does a lot of video game voiceover, plays both Superboy and Superman, since they're of the same DNA.
I've seen a picture of Nathan North.
Yep.
But I saw people got so up in arms over Mark Wahlberg being cast as Nathan Fillion. I mean, as Nathan Fillion.
Yes.
As Nathan Drake.
Right.
And people were saying it should have been Nathan Fillion or Nolan North or whatever his name is. I'm like, why? Because he does the voice?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Nolan North. Actor. Yeah, I said Nathan North. Nolan North, you're right. Well, yeah, Nolan North, I don't think looks like Nathan Drake. And just because he does the voice does not mean you cast that person in the role.
Yeah, I always have that problem with stupid fanboys because, like, I know I brought this up before on my podcast and probably even on yours, but when the new Superman movie, when they were talking about who should direct it,
right?
People were saying it should be Jonah Nolan or no one. And I'm like, the guy who writes movies?
Right.
He's never directed a movie before in his life.
Right.
Like, why is it so important that he directs it? It doesn't make any sense to me.
It's very true. It's going to be easier to collaborate with someone he's worked with already, so that makes sense from that point of view. But at the same time, Christopher Nolan could produce any director, and it would still be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you're right. I don't understand that argument at all.
Yeah, it didn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no, you're absolutely right. But Young Justice, the premiere, they did a one-hour premiere, but now we don't get any more for a couple months. I don't have for some reason, I had seen it before, and then I just couldn't find the actual premiere date. But I know it's not for another month or two when the series actually starts. That was like a sneak peek.
Yeah, I know that builds hype and all, but I hate when they do that.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I hate the show and all, but they did that with Glee, too, I remember. Like, Glee premiered in, like, April, and then didn't come out until September.
Oh, yeah?
Like, why do that? I don't understand the point.
Yeah, I don't get that either. I mean, yes, I want to see it very badly now, but it's not like it's going to make me want to see it that much more when it comes out. Like, I'm going to watch it anyway.
I just think it's more likely for people to forget.
Right. Yeah, like, people are going to be like, well, where's that show now? I just watched the first episode. Where did it go?
I brought this up when we did our the TV shows that we want people to see.
Yeah.
Pushing Daisies, because of the writer's strike, was gone for so long that when it came back, it had horrible ratings because, you know, people forget about it.
There were so many shows that suffered from the writer's strike.
Yeah, and that's why I don't understand why they do that when they complain about the lower ratings after huge gaps.
Yeah, it's like, well, you took it off TV.
Like V and Flash Forward last year?
Yep.
They had like a 3 or 4 month hiatus.
Yeah.
Like, what's the point in that? Get out of here.
People are finicky and they'll just move on to another show. I hate it. Even though I love South Park, they have huge gaps mid-season.
Yeah, that's all USA does now, too, with their shows.
Yeah, it drives me nuts. Erg. That's my only geek out, though. What do you have for freakouts?
Oh, freakout! Freakouts, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I must admit, I'm incredibly unprepared.
That's okay.
It's funny, I was thinking about all the rental recommendations, and I completely forgot about geek out and freakout.
Oh, the norms. They do fall away from time to time. If you got nothing, it's no biggie.
No, if you have some, let me think.
Okay. My biggest freak out is I recently watched The Other Guys. Have you watched it?
Yes.
It is, for the first 20 minutes, an amazingly hilarious movie and had the potential to be one of the funniest movies of the year. And then it went into Weirdsville for like the rest of it. Did you have that same thought when you were watching it?
No, I disagree. I love the movie.
Really?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
I don't know what happened. It was like, in the first 20 to 25 minutes, and this is the only correlation I could figure out, they really focus on Mark Wahlberg's character being funny in the beginning, and then as they move through the movie, the comedy comes out of Will Ferrell, and it just turns into like every other one of his movies, and it just got odd and uncomfortable.
See, that's what I like about it. I like odd, uncomfortable humor, and I especially like random humor.
Oh, okay.
So I think that's why the movie really worked for me. Like, I loved everything Michael Keaton did.
Yeah.
When he kept quoting TLC songs.
He was great.
Made me laugh every time.
Michael Keaton's hysterical.
Yeah, he really is.
Yeah. Very underrated. But.
And you got him twice this summer. Haven't seen him in years, and you get him twice with this and Toy Story. It was
awesome.
That's
true. That's true. But yeah, he, I don't know, the movie just fell flat for me. It felt like two separate movies. I wished it had only been a half hour long, and then I would have really loved it.
Without spoiling anything for the fans and the listeners, can we agree that it has one of the best death scenes of all time?
Yes. Yes, it does.
I was laughing so hard at that part.
That was...
Especially with that song, the song kicks in. Oh my God, I couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah, that was incredibly unexpected. And at the same time, incredibly hilarious.
Yeah, oh man, so awesome.
That was good. My other main freak out this week is the whole website TwitLonger. Are you familiar?
Is that one like you can like tweet a whole like paragraph?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's dumb.
If I'm reading a tweet, I'm reading Twitter because it's 140 characters.
Yeah, I'm not going to click on a link and read the rest.
Yeah, that pisses me off. I would much rather somebody just tweet multiple tweets, like do five in a row. I don't care. I'll read them. I don't have to leave my program to read your messages that way.
And the few times I've stopped clicking because it annoyed me, but the few times that I did click it, it was usually like one or two more words. Are you kidding me right now? Just shorten one of the words.
Exactly. And the worst thing is it's usually when people are responding to other people.
Yep.
So the tweet longer, you just see the actual same tweet again. You don't see their reply until you click the link, which is so obnoxious.
Like today I got responded to by Kevin Smith.
No kidding.
And yeah, he just cut out one of my words and so he could answer it in like one tweet.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
That's being an efficient tweeter.
Seriously.
Or efficient twitizen of the tweeter. Twitter. I say twitizen because Hurricane Helms uses it all the time to refer to his group of tweeters.
I don't know what that means, but okay.
Well, you know...
who's Hurricane Helms?
The Hurricane from WWE.
I have no idea who that is.
Oh, okay. That's a shame. But he's not with them anymore.
You don't even like WWE anymore.
I don't, but I still find the people on Twitter to be very entertaining.
Not me.
Yeah.
Only Shawn Michaels.
Only Shawn Michaels? I don't even follow Shawn Michaels.
That's all I follow.
I follow probably way too many for my health.
I follow one person and it's Shawn Michaels. <That'd
be funny. laughs> That's it. I'm cutting off everybody else. Even you. What?
He just talks about Bible study a lot.
Oh, yeah.
That's okay. I like him.
He is the heartbreak kid.
He is.
Those are all my freakouts. That's right.
I came up with one.
Oh, good.
How's that make you feel?
I'm a little happy.
Good. All right. Here's my freakout.
Okay.
Tron Legacy.
Really?
No. Listen.
Okay, listening.
I really want to see the movie. I think it looks amazing.
Ditto.
The trailers are so incredible. Although I've heard some bad buzz about the actual film. Like, for screenings and stuff, I heard it's not very good.
Oh.
But my freakout comes from the fact that I've never seen the first Tron.
Mm-hmm.
And I really want to.
But?
but it's out of print. And Disney decided they don't want to release it because they don't want people to see it and be like, oh, this is what it's going to look like. I don't want to go see Tron Legacy.
Yeah, I noticed it
wasn't
on...
So they're going to wait until after it comes out to release it.
That's foolish.
Because I've been waiting for months, because I always see it at work, you know, and I'm always like, maybe I should get it. And they're like, nah, they'll release a Blu-ray. They have to. Like, why wouldn't they release a Blu-ray before the new one comes out? And they decide not to.
If you see it at work, could you buy it there?
Oh, yeah, I found one today.
Oh, okay.
I've been looking for the past, like, week and a half, and I finally found one today.
Oh, my God.
But it's expensive because it's out of print, but I really want to see it, so, I mean...
They did take it off of Netflix, too.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I was going to add it to my queue because, like you said, it's coming out, and I haven't watched Tron since, I don't know. I don't remember the last time I watched Tron.
Yeah.
But it'd be good to get caught up so I understand all the references they'll undoubtedly be making.
Yeah, seriously.
The one thing about the movie that looks weird to me is the younger Jeff Bridges.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's a little
odd. It looks
so
creepy.
Yeah, right? I think it works for in the Tron world, but when they have him in the beginning with his son, that looks a little odd.
He's like a robot.
Yeah. But, I mean, nice. It's not bad. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, definitely. I'm excited.
Cool. So, a little bit of a geek out and freak out mixed right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to do that to you.
Oh, no, that's absolutely fine. I have no issues with that.
Good. You better not.
Mm. But I am going to hit you with the hot seat now.
I love hot seats.
It's time for top three.
Uh-oh.
Three, two, one.
This week is actually a fan-submitted top three category, and I thought it was awesome. I've actually been saving this one for you.
For me?
For you, with all your movie knowledge, I thought it would be very interesting.
I have absolutely zero movie knowledge.
Sweet. This will be perfect. The top three this week are the top three fake pieces of technology.
Fake pieces of technology?
Fake pieces of technology that exist within movies, television, comic books, and they just don't exist in the real world. But it would be awesome if they did.
It would be.
And
that's
it could
really
be
a tough one.
It is a tough one, right? Because there's really a lot out there. There's a ton out there.
That's really hard to just like think of off the top of my head.
It is tough. Man. See, I'm fortunate that I get these beforehand. I do have three, but I'm not going to say mine until you say yours. But I also had time to do a little research if I wanted to.
Yeah, seriously.
And I had a few of them like right off the top of my head, but then some of them I didn't think about right away. And there are some I wanted to include, but I didn't want to take too many from Star Trek because that would just be like, I don't know. I had two from Star Trek originally. I got rid of one because I was like, well, I'll take one from Star Trek, the one I think is the best, and get rid of the others for now.
Yeah.
Because they could probably all be from Star Trek.
Can it be any type of technology?
I would think so.
Because I know a lot of people didn't like this movie because it's quote-unquote ripoff.
Okay.
But I love the movie Repo Men.
That was pretty good.
And I really liked it, and I just love that technology in the movie, you know, of, you know. I just thought that was really cool. Like, you can get those fake organs, any type of organ.
So the fake organs from Repo Men would be one piece? Okay.
Because, you know, if I'm ever dying, I would do that.
Cool.
Especially if Jude Law is going to come do something. I love Jude Law.
You and your man crushes.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Love Brandon Routh.
That's true. I had to mention it.
I have to throw it in whenever I can.
Absolutely.
I don't know, man.
And so I tried to think of like particular gadgets from whatever.
Gadgets. Can't even think of gadgets.
There was some cool suggestions when the person submitted it, but
can
only
I hear them.
The one that I remember is he said the flux capacitor.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I really want the laser watch from James Bond.
Nice.
Because I used to use it in GoldenEye all the time.
Yeah,
even
that was
though it didn't
awesome.
Really do anything, I love using it. Like, it was the level with the train.
Yep.
And, you know, and you get in there with Natalia, and the thing closes, and you have, like, you know, a minute to use the laser to open up the floor.
Yeah.
You remember that level?
Yeah.
That's what I want. I want one of those laser watches.
Something felt so cool about doing that.
Yeah, definitely. Actually, my other one's a watch, too.
Is it?
And I apologize, but it's another watch. It's from Dick Tracy.
Oh, yeah.
I always wanted his watch.
Who didn't?
I remember growing up, I wanted it so bad. I wanted a yellow trench coat, I wanted a yellow hat, and I wanted that watch.
That watch must be out there somewhere.
It has to be. I wanted it so bad.
Well, I know they have ones that are lookalikes that don't actually function, but someone had to have made one that does function at this point.
Yeah.
I would hope. I think we're at that point.
That's my shitty three answers. I'm sorry.
Aw, that's okay. Well, after I say mine, you're going to feel even worse. But I did have prep time, and I'll remind the listeners of that. I had plenty of prep time.
All right.
Okay. Iron Man suit.
Okay.
That's so badass, because basically anyone can be a superhero.
What about Spider-Man's web shooters?
It could be on the list, if that was something you were going for. I just can't see using the web shooters without the strength, because I'd probably rip my arms off.
That's fine. As long as I get to swing once, I'm happy.
I'm going out swinging. Oh, man. You just want to say Spider-Man again, so I dropped the spider Todd. That's my favorite drop now, by the way. Love it. The second one I have is the connections to upload knowledge from the Matrix.
Okay.
I guess that might be a little bit because I'm a teacher, but I can't help thinking sometimes during the day, if I could just plug it into like one of these kids and just upload my knowledge directly to them, it'd be so much easier.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. And they just had the entire skill set. Be like, oh, let's see, I can go to school for a year, or I can sit down in this chair for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. Of course, we'd all be like master spies and stuff.
Good call.
Yeah. The third piece of technology, I saved the best for last, of course. How cool would it be to have the holodeck from Star Trek?
That would be cool. Or the danger room from X-Men.
Yeah. Well, the danger room, I'd feel like, is the danger room. Like, there's trouble there. But the holodeck.
There's danger in the holodeck. Haven't you ever seen the episode when Data goes in there and takes Sherlock Holmes?
That's only when it malfunctions. But normally, which is every episode that the holodeck's in, I know. But the concept of having the holodeck and basically creating whatever you want or any story you want to live through, like, that's so cool.
Have you ever seen Sunshine?
No.
Oh, never mind then.
Oh, I totally destroyed that.
Well, it's kind of like a holodeck, but I love how they do in that movie.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I love that movie anyway.
Hmm. Is that a horror movie?
The last, like third kind of turns into one, but it's really not creepy. It's not scary.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'll watch it then.
I thought of another one.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to be able to make someone really small, like in Inner Space. When Dennis Quaid is inside Martin Short. Come on. That's one of the best movies of all time.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Oh, I love Honey, I Shrunk the
Kids. That's great. By the way, a little side story based on Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. And related to Disney. How about that? I'm doing a twofer.
How about it?
When I last went to Disney, which I don't even remember how young I was. It was before I was 10, I'm sure. They had the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, like, special effects display.
Yeah, it's still there at Hollywood Studios.
Is it really?
Yeah.
And they have the bee that you ride and everything, and they show it like on the big screen and stuff.
Yep.
My sister and I rode the bee.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I just wish we like had a DVD or something of the footage of us doing that.
That's really cool.
We were near the front of the line, and this guy comes up, and he's just like, "Hey, you guys want to be on the bee?
You want to ride the bee?"
Which just sounds creepy. You do want to ride the bee? No, sir, I don't.
We went to Disney Quest.
Yep.
Which is like this 5-story, pretty much arcade. And, so we're going up all the levels, looking at all the arcade stuff. You know, there's like every type of game you could think of. There's like virtual reality still.
Yep.
And, so we went in this one thing, and it's you make your own roller coaster.
Nice.
Where you go to this computer screen, and it's Bill Nye, the science guy, who's hosting it.
Bill Nye.
Yeah.
He's no Beekman, but he is, he's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's better.
oh, it's a Beekman Bill Nye face-off.
No, so you can pick all as many loops as you want. You can pick as many, like, you know, everything.
Yep.
And then you swipe your card, and you go into this little room that has, like, this big box, pretty much, that you sit in. You put the restraints down, and on the screen in front of you, it's like you're on that roller coaster you just created.
That's way cool.
Yeah, it's awesome, and we turned over so many times because we kept just doing loop-de-loops. But what's really cool is you're seeing that on the screen,
yep.
But right below the screen there's a camera on you.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, so you can watch like your reaction to the whole thing.
Nice.
You can buy a DVD if you want. We didn't buy it, but it was really cool.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Does the seat shift around and everything? Like?
Oh, yeah. It moves like crazy.
Nice.
Like, it really feels like you're going because, you know, it loops around and just keeps flipping you over.
Very cool.
Yeah, it was really cool.
I'm jealous of Disney.
Yeah, it was like the best week of my life.
Oh, you're supposed to take me.
Classic Rob V.
Boo. I want to remind the fans real quick, if they have any top three categories, and we have been using a lot of fan ones recently, send those to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com or @geekgeneration on Twitter. I would love to use some more of them. And they have really good suggestions, too, so far.
Whose suggestion was that? Do you know?
That was also from G1.
G1? God damn it.
I know. The guy's a powerhouse.
Powerhouse.
Oh, I just remembered the other one that I was going to include in the top three there.
What was it?
I had taken out another Star Trek one, but how cool would it be to have a food replicator?
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Just kind of go, I want beep, boop, beep, boop, and it just assembles all the molecules, and oh, that's so cool.
Or, you know what I like is the Babel fish or whatever from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
I haven't seen it.
You didn't read it either?
No.
Oh, it's awesome. It's like this worm you put in your head. You can understand like any dialect, any language.
That's really cool. I'm just kind of antsy about putting a fish in my, or a worm in my head.
Well, that's one time.
That's hey, always you just there. Deal with it once. Then you just have a thing living around in your brain.
I would actually love The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, like the actual book.
Yeah.
Because in the movie, at least, it's awesome. It looks like almost like an iPad, but you can learn about anything.
Hmm.
It really is the guide to the galaxy. It has everything in it.
Sweet.
Yeah, it's awesome. So I changed my answer to everything in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Accepted. Stamp of approval. We're going to take a quick break now then, because it's a good time to do that. We'll be right back. So, Anna.
Yes?
Christmas is on the way.
It is.
It is.
Stressful time of year.
Yeah. Where do you do most of your Christmas shopping?
I do my shopping on Amazon.com because I can do all my shopping from the couch.
Really? Well, that's very convenient.
It is. It is. It takes the stress out of the holidays.
Did you know that the Geek Generation is an affiliate of Amazon.com?
I did not know that, Rob.
You didn't? Well, what you can do to help the Geek Generation is go to www.thegeekgeneration.com, click the Amazon button, which will take you right to Amazon, and when you buy all the Christmas presents that you're going to buy, you'll actually be earning us a commission as well.
That sounds too easy.
So go to thegeekgeneration.com, use that Amazon.com button, and make us some money while you're doing your Christmas shopping.
It's super easy, and if you don't do it, you're a bad friend.
Hi, this is TNA Tara, and you're listening to the one and only The Geek Generation. I repeat, The Geek Generation.
We are back, and before we hop into the news block, let's take a look at the listener emails. Last show, I almost said last week, but it was definitely last show, we asked everybody which movie trilogy climbed the highest, only to fall the farthest, basically meaning that the first two were great, and the third killed it. Do you have an answer you want to throw out before I start reading?
The Godfather.
The Godfather. That is a very popular answer, I think.
Yep.
Because those first two movies are award-winning, and then boom.
I think the third one is award-winning, too. I think it got nominated for some stuff, but I still don't like it.
Yeah. I have never seen any of them all the way through.
It's fair.
And it's not everyone's cup of tea. Some people would say blasphemy. I think I'm at the point where I can't. I've tried watching them all the way through, and I can't watch them for what they're intended to be anymore because I've seen them parodied so many times.
Well, and they're also very slow, so it's not everyone's bag, you know?
Right. And I'm not big on, believe it or not, I'm just not big on mobster movies to begin with.
It's fair.
Yeah. It's just not, and like you said, Marlon Brando.
That son of a bitch. Don't even bring him up.
I know.
God damn it.
Superman's dad. Ugh. Is that why you hate him? Because he was Superman's dad?
No, I don't mind. I don't. No, no, no. That's not why.
Okay. Should I ask why or just get into the responses?
You just get responses.
Okay. I don't want to open a can of worms here.
He was dead to me long before he was dead. Let's say that.
Oh, okay. So which movie trilogy climbed the highest only to fall the farthest? The first answer comes in from Mike Volpe, who says, okay, this one is hard. I'm torn between two, Jurassic Park and Spider-Man. Rob, I know we've spoken many times about what we didn't like about Spider-Man, mostly being Venom, but I don't think we've ever spoken about Jurassic Park. The first two were good, but the third one just dropped the ball. Although
good?
I guess.
The first one's one of the best movies of all time. It's a little more than good.
And the second?
I love the second. I like all of them, actually.
Oh.
So, I don't agree.
Although some of the ideas were good, the overall quality of the movie was not. There was more action, guns, and blood, but it had the here we go again feel to it, I think he meant. So,
see, I liked the third one because I thought... Are we talking about the third one now?
Yeah.
Okay. I liked the third one because I thought it was different than the first two. The second one was kind of just the first one again to me.
True.
And except for at the end when they go to San Diego. But I like the third one. I mean, it has one of the worst endings ever in a movie.
Yeah.
But when he all of a sudden he walks onto the beach, he's like, Dr. Grant, where'd that guy come from?
Yeah, I know, right?
It's the most random ending ever, but I enjoy it enough for what it is.
I remember enjoying it. I don't really remember it too much. It just didn't stick in my head.
Yeah.
I think it was entertaining for what it was and then very forgettable.
And it had one of the... It has to be unintentionally funny, but it also is funny. I mean, they must have known it was funny. But when they're just standing there and they hear the cell phone.
Oh, yeah.
And they turn around. The dinosaur is just standing there because he ate it. They didn't hear him walk up at all, this, you know, 200-ton dinosaur. But they can hear the cell phone as clear as day from his stomach.
Right. And
made me laugh so hard.
His organs and his skin and all that don't block the cell phone sound at all.
Classic.
Jurassic Park. Next one comes in from G1, speaking of the man. I think that the worst movie trilogy in recent memory was the Spider-Man movies. I know you guys recently discussed how upset you were that they are rebooting it already, but I'm very happy they are. Tobey Maguire was a terrible choice for Spider-Man, in my opinion.
Agreed.
Sam Raimi directed it like it was a live-action cartoon, which I understand why he did that, but I didn't enjoy it. The first one was okay. The second one had at least one good scene, but the third one was just bad. I'm geeking out that they are rebooting it.
G1's the man.
He is. And he says,
I like him a lot more than I ever did before now.
Well, let's see if this sways your opinion or not. He also says, P.S. Best Western ever. Unforgiven.
I loved Unforgiven. We watched that on the podcast. I don't know. Is he, and why is he talking about that? Did this come up?
We briefly mentioned Westerns in the last episode.
I love Open Range, like, a lot.
I'm not familiar.
With Kevin Costner?
No.
And Robert Duvall?
I had mentioned I like Last Man Standing.
Oh, okay, yeah, I remember that now.
Yeah.
No, Unforgiven is definitely fantastic, though.
Yeah. I can't argue with that.
Good, don't.
Next one comes in from common female co-host Anna Zifkak and says, hey, Rob.
What?
What?
Who says things like that? Common female co-host.
She's like the only female co-host we have, and she's been on more than once, hence common for this show.
It's common. It's weird.
I'm trying to come up with crazy adjectives. Leave me alone.
That's fair.
All right. For this one, I'm going with The Matrix. Although your criteria states the first two were great, the third ruined it. In this specific criteria, The Matrix doesn't quite fit in, because I didn't really care for the second one much. This is a trilogy that I actually wish had stayed a single movie. The first Matrix stood on its own and didn't need any sequels at all. In college, we all went to see the midnight showing of the second one, where they showed the first in the theater, first from 10 p.m. or whatever. So basically, I sat in a theater for nearly 6 hours, only to be totally let down. The second one was a masterpiece compared to the third one, though. I don't remember much of it besides being super confused and hating the ending. A close second would be the Pirates of the Caribbean trilogy. Again, though, the first was fantastic, the second was tolerable, and the third one was downright horrific.
Wow, both of these don't fit the criterion at all.
No. I think Hollywood needs to stop being obsessed with trilogies. Why can't they just quit while they're ahead? Like Bill and Ted. Two movies, two awesome movies, because yes, I liked Bogus Journey a lot.
Well, they keep talking about making a third one.
They do. And
didn't you guys talk about it when you were both on the show?
We did. We did. So I think she's afraid of mentioning it due to the fear of it fitting the criteria.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, the Pirates of the Caribbean one, that second movie was so bad, I never even saw the third.
Terrible. The second one was so bad, I actually saw the third one, and it was just equally as bad, if not worse.
And they're working on a new one.
Yeah, there's a trailer coming out December 13th.
Yeah, and I am probably not posting it, because I don't give a rat's ass.
Oh, you'll post it.
No. No.
And then, like, The Matrix, I had the same problem, where, like, the first one was fantastic, the second one was okay, and the third one is one of the worst movies of all time. Mm. But, so it doesn't fit the criterion, though.
It's true. She picked two trilogies that don't fit the criteria.
Yeah. Talk about blowing it on all ends.
Oh, we're going to get some hate mail. The next one comes in from at the Dan Peck Show on Twitter. I don't know what the Dan Peck Show is, but it comes from it or him. He says Godfather equals only answer. Not sure any sequel ever regressed like Godfather 3 did from Godfather 2.
Bad boy. I love the Dan Peck Show. I'm going to watch it every day.
If it's watchable.
Yeah, I have no idea what that is.
Might have to check that out. Next one comes in from Dan McKinley. He says, Mad Max 3 Beyond Thunderdome. The movies had a great concept, but number 3 was redundant and boring. The big fight scene could have been great, but ended up just being Mel Gibson and some jackass bouncing around on the bungee cords you pay three tickets to go on at a fair.
All right.
Yeah.
I've never seen any of those movies.
Nor have I, so I'll take his word for it.
Yeah.
The next one is from superfan Chris Tong. He says, what's up, Rob?
Wichita!
Yeah, you love doing that, right?
Yeah.
You like the Wichita. There are so many trilogies out there that fell flat after the third movie was released, but one comes to mind more than any other, X-Men. Now, some may disagree, but I certainly feel that the third movie was a complete letdown. It pissed me off to no extent. Oh, well. Just my own opinion. I'm sure that you'll get a lot of people choosing Spider-Man 3 as the killer of all killers, but I happen to have liked all three of the Spider-Man movies. Call me nuts. I don't care. Have a good one, Chris Tong. Chickadee China, the Chinese chicken.
Chickadee China, the Chinese chicken?
I think he just wants to start making me say weird things during the show.
It's from Bare Naked Ladies.
I know it is, but...
That's not weird.
Okay. Well, it's kind of random in the scheme of the email.
Maybe he loves the X-Files.
You just like random humor.
Touche.
But I heard a comment when he was talking about X-Men from you.
Oh, yeah. I agree with him wholeheartedly. That's a great choice.
I agree. Most of the time, or not most of the time, but sometime, Chris Tong's answers feel way out of left field. But this one was spot on.
It was spot on. Yeah, I agree. It was perfect. It's like the perfect answer. Besides The Godfather.
And Spider-Man 3.
No.
Spider-Man, no. For me, the answer is Spider-Man. Spider-Man
no,
1.
I understand that.
2 is even better, and 3 was just a steaming pile of poop.
Yes, but I say no because I didn't really care for the first two.
Oh.
So I don't give an F about the third one.
Well, yeah, you don't like Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man.
Exactly.
I was fine with it.
Of course you were. You like garbage.
Yeah, I do. Next one comes in from Joe Palumbo, who says, "Hello, Rob. In true Geek Generation fashion, I'm sending this last minute, so I apologize. The first trilogy that came to mind was Back to the Future. I wouldn't say that this film killed the whole trilogy, but this is definitely my least favorite of the three, and I would much rather watch one or two. The other that popped into my head right away was the Alien series. Now this is no longer a trilogy, but I really don't care about Alien 3 in the least bit. Anyway, I should give a more in-depth answer, but my brain is fried right now, and I'm curious from standing in the rain because a fire alarm went off at my office. Okay, I'm done. Keep up the good work."
He's curious from that?
Is that what I said?
Yeah.
Furious, I meant. If I said curious, I apologize. I'm reading fast.
I don't know what it is about Joe, but he loves sending things in last minute.
He does, and he loves making excuses for why they're not more complex.
Yeah.
It's always, I'm tired, or I'm busy, or my brain is fried. Yeah.
All the Back to the Future movies are awesome.
Yes.
Even though the third one's not as good, it doesn't ruin a whole trilogy.
Not even close.
And Alien is not a trilogy.
Yeah, and I enjoyed very much getting those texts from you that I am now dead to you.
It's true.
Yeah. What was it? Because we said Aliens and Indiana Jones were trilogies. Indiana Jones is a trilogy.
It's not a trilogy.
Yes, it is.
Nope.
Okay, then how can you say Star Wars, the original trilogy?
Because it is Star Wars. There's two different trilogies. They sell them separately as two trilogies.
Why can I not say Indiana Jones, the original trilogy, and then Kingdom of the Crystal Skull?
Nope.
Yes, I can.
Nope.
Yep. I'm right on this.
You're not.
I am so right on this. There has to be a period of just something in between that makes it for it not to be a trilogy anymore. I will think of a specific example to disprove you. You just can't wait.
Like, look at Die Hard. Die Hard in England was called Die Hard 4.0 because it's the fourth movie. It's part of the trilogy. So that's not a trilogy anymore. Same thing with Rambo. Rambo 4 was what it was called before they decided just to call it Rambo.
But you can't say...
This is what
say,
happens no matter how long the
No. Then you can't say Star Wars has any trilogies.
It does have a trilogy.
No, it doesn't then. It has six movies. Wait, not three.
What does the box say when you go to buy it? It says the original trilogy and the prequel trilogy. That's what the box says.
Oh, yeah. Guess what? I bet you I could go find a box that says the Indiana Jones trilogy on it and buy that.
Yeah, when they came out before the last movie.
Yeah. But I could do it.
Yes, I know you can.
And I could also buy the Star Wars collection because there's more than... Although they don't sell that yet.
Exactly. Oh, my God.
Not yet, but they will.
Can't even talk to you when you're like this.
Oh, yeah.
You've never
been
wronger.
I'm so right here.
You've never been wronger.
I'm so right. I think you just like pushing the buttons.
I love buttons.
I'm not Brandon Ralph.
Oh, man, he's amazing.
Yeah.
Push his buttons.
Terrible. To save ourselves from getting into this any further, I'll put out this week's poll question. And I'm just going to go right off the back of the top three and ask the audience, because there are so many things out there. I'd love to get some good answers on this. What is the greatest piece of sci-fi tech? I want to know it. We might have listed it. We might not have. I know some people are going to say the sonic screwdriver or the TARDIS from Doctor Who, but I don't know what the crap those things are.
Yeah, I don't know what that is at all.
I feel like less of a geek because I don't watch Doctor Who. And people are making me feel geekless. I don't know. But... if people want to answer that, what is the greatest piece of sci-fi tech, send it to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com or @geekgeneration on the Twitter.
Twitter.
And don't use Twit longer because that pisses me off. I will not click that link.
I hope they all use it now.
Angry. Hulk roller coaster angry.
Oh, man. Amazing.
No, incredible.
Incredible.
Incredible. With that, we'll move right into news. Top story this week is, unfortunately, stuff that I hate reading and stuff like this goes down. But actor Leslie Nielsen died Sunday of complications from pneumonia at a hospital near his home in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. He was 84. Born on February 11, 1926, Nielsen is most known for his roles in comedies such as Airplane and the Naked Gun films. To go back to the Twitter, there were a lot of celebrity remembrances and outcries in honor of Mr. Nielsen. And my favorite was from probably
Dior Baird.
My favorite Diora Baird on the Twitter, who said, quote, I will forever cherish the fact that Leslie Nielsen made one witty joke after another about my boobs and Stan Helsing. His improv was superb.
Yep.
Yeah. It's insanely sad. Leslie Nielsen.
Oh, I was so bummed out when I woke up and read that.
I know, right?
That's why I changed my Facebook picture back to when I met him.
I noticed.
Yeah.
And I'm a little jealous.
He's the best.
He was, I don't know, he was like a genre-defining actor.
He really was, yeah.
Parody was nothing until he came along.
Police Squad is one of my favorite TV shows, like, ever.
Yeah?
Yep.
Guy was amazing.
Agreed. What about Irvin Kershner, huh?
Yeah, director of Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, at first I didn't recognize the name. I know, bad. But, yeah, that sucks too.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, he made the best Star Wars film.
But you want to know what that means?
No.
Oh, okay.
I mean, yes, I do.
Oh, okay. just like our discussion of trilogies, they say celebrities always die in threes.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking about this the other day.
Yeah.
Who the third's going to be.
Exactly. Now, here's the question. If we go a few months and then another celebrity dies, does it count in the three?
No.
Damn it.
It can't just be, it wouldn't make sense. It can't just be three forever.
Wait, did you just prove my point on the trilogies?
Not that I know of.
Because Indiana Jones, if you go long enough, it can't count as part of the original trilogy. You just said it couldn't count.
It doesn't count as the three.
Right.
Because that, yeah, but that's not, that's not two released and one came out much later.
No, it's three and then one came out much later.
Yeah, but we're talking about three people dying.
Right.
You're making light of a very sad subject right now.
Isn't that what we're supposed to do?
No.
What are you talking about? Bad.
I love Leslie Nielsen.
Well, I love Leslie Nielsen too, but comedy.
Yeah, real comedy.
You're killing the vibes of my show, damn it.
Listen, I'm going to light a candle right now.
Okay.
I'm just going to sit in the dark for 10 minutes.
See, he would want us laughing.
It's true.
It's true. Let's talk some more Disney-ness.
Do it.
You mentioned wanting to go see Tangled really bad.
Real bad.
The unfortunate thing about Tangled is that, according to a lengthy article in the Los Angeles Times, Disney's newest movie, Tangled, will mark the end of an era for the company. Since the debut of Snow White in 1937, Disney Animation has had a long history of retelling classic fairy tales in what has come to be known as a Disney style. Tangled, a retelling of the tale of Rapunzel, will be, quote, the last fairy tale produced by Disney's animation group for the foreseeable future. How do you feel about that?
I'm fine with it. I like movies where they're not really a fairy tale.
I'm kind of in between on it. Because I don't think the fairy tale movies are the ones that I would necessarily watch now. But growing up, as classics, those things are amazing.
Well, yeah, but when was like the last great one that was based on a fairy tale?
True.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't remember any of, like Lion King isn't based on a fairy tale. That's the best one, in my opinion.
Well, yeah. That was Hamlet.
Yeah.
But The Princess and the Frog bombed horribly.
It didn't bomb horribly.
That's what they said. I don't know. I'm taking their words.
I don't think it was, it did horribly, by any stretch of the imagination. It just didn't do as well as some other ones did.
Yeah.
But, critically, it did well.
True. I at least appreciated that they attempted the classic animation.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, we talked about Winnie the Pooh before. Holy crap.
I need to see that right now.
It's awesome.
That trailer is incredible.
Love that they're doing that.
I can't wait to see that.
Let's see. To go on, there's a quote here. Quote, films and genres do run a course, said Pixar Animation Studios chief Ed Catmull, who along with director John Lasseter oversees Disney Animation. They may come back later because someone has a fresh take on it, but we don't have any other musicals or fairy tales lined up. Catmull and Lasseter stopped production on The Snow Queen and Jack and the Beanstalk, two fairy tale movies that had been in development. Feeling that fairy tales are limiting their target audience, Disney is looking to branch out to stories that have more widespread appeal. Are you familiar with the fact that they kind of retooled Tangled in 2008?
Yeah, I remember hearing about that. Like, when John Lasseter kind of started taking head of things, he, like, canceled some things and started retooled Tangled and stuff. Because Tangled originally was going to be more like Rapunzel.
Well, yeah, it was just going to be called Rapunzel.
Yeah, and they changed it to be more like so guys will like it, too.
Exactly. Yeah, the whole movie was supposed to be from the point of view of Rapunzel, but then they said, we need this kind of, like, quirky bandit guy, and we're going to have the movie from his point of view so guys will watch it, too. And but if it's good, I don't care what they did.
Yeah, I heard it's great, and I really want to see it.
Yeah, it looks interesting, which I will not be seeing it in 3D.
Nice.
Yeah. Are you planning 3D?
Whatever's there.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter to me.
You kind of give or take it about it?
Yeah. I mean, some things, like, I like to see in 3D. Some things I don't.
True. I think they're, like, I'll see Tron in 3D.
Yeah.
But aside from that, I can't think of anything else this year that I would go see in 3D at this point.
Your favorite movie ever, Avatar?
The... Well, yeah, I mean, I saw that already, and it's not my favorite movie ever.
I just thought it was, I'm sorry.
No. It is not Batman Begins, which I would not see in 3D.
What if that's the only thing they released it in?
Well, then I'd have to.
Exactly.
But they won't do that to me, because Christopher Nolan's not that mean.
You're right.
Yeah. The next story we kind of talked about a little bit before. Mark Wahlberg is going to be playing Nathan Drake. Despite the efforts made on Twitter by Nathan Fillion, it would seem that the role of Nathan Drake in the upcoming Uncharted movie has gone to Mark Wahlberg. And I do have a quick clip for that.
There's been talk lately about Uncharted. Is there any truth to that, that you and David might reteam for that one?
David's writing now, and David is one of the best writer-directors I've ever worked with, and the idea that he has is just insane. So hopefully we'll be making that movie this summer.
Pesci and De Niro, is it part of it?
That's who he wants to write the parts for.
Have they been contacted? Have you put in a
call? I talked to Pesci about it, and I know David's people have talked to Bob. I was supposed to get a hold of Bob because Bob saw The Fighter. I took Pesci to see The Fighter. And so, you know, I'm obviously in whatever David wants to do, but the idea of it is so off the charts, you know. De Niro would be my father, and Pesci would be my uncle. And
I'd watch that.
So as you heard in the clip there, Mark Wahlberg is more or less confirming that he will be playing Nathan Drake without straight up saying it. But there is some uproar because people really did want Nathan Fillion to play the part, and I thought he would have been good for it, but I like Mark Wahlberg too.
What has Nathan Fillion done that would make him a bankable actor?
I think it's more so that he looks the part. And
well, it was like the character model was based on him.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh. I didn't even know that. But I think he has a similar acting style to the character of Nathan Drake.
Definitely, yeah. But like I said, just because, you know, everyone on Twitter wants him to be, it doesn't mean it's going to do well just because he's in it. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Like, that's what always happens. People make this big deal about it, and then it doesn't do well. Because the 10 people who really wanted it on Twitter were the only people who went and saw it.
Yeah, and Uncharted is big, but it's one of those things I'm not sure it's a big enough genre or franchise to really pull in a huge audience without having a big name at the helm.
Exactly.
Yeah, so they kind of had to go the right direction they did, which is too bad because, I don't know, I would have liked to see Nathan Fillion in it.
Yeah, I'm sure it would have been fine.
It's always nice to know that the guy really wants it, too. I think that's part of it.
What else is he doing? Castle? Come on.
You don't like Castle?
No, I don't give a crap about that show.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either. Honestly, I don't know. Netflix launches a streaming-only plan in the United States. Currently available in North America on all major consoles, Netflix has officially announced a $7.99 streaming-only plan for the U.S. Current plans that include disc-based service as well as streaming will be increasing by a dollar or more depending on your significant plan.
How hard is it to... Because I have the disc and Watch Instantly plan right now.
As do I.
How hard is it just to get rid of the disc?
I don't think it's hard at all.
All right, because that's what I want to do.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't really get discs anymore. I just watch Instant, so there's no point in having it.
See, I want the full library that they have.
It's just like a $23 thing that keeps getting from my bank account. And the last time I took out discs was a good 6 months ago.
It's that much for you?
Yeah, because I have Blu-rays too.
Oh, okay. But how many discs can you take out at once?
Three.
Oh, that's why then, yeah. I pay, what, $8.99, $9.99, and I have one at a time?
I just never do it. If I want it, I buy it.
Yeah, it's like $1 or two more. But so many of the movies I can't watch streaming it. Until I'll get rid of the discs when they have a larger catalog.
Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah. But I want to watch stuff that comes out like right away. So not like that helps because it's always on backlog for like months anyway after it is released.
Here's a question.
Yeah.
Why is Aunt May so old?
In Spider-Man?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I've always wondered that. And it just made it even worse because the reason I brought this up is because I was watching Netflix Watch Instant this weekend.
Okay.
And I watched that DVD that's Kevin Smith just talking to Stan Lee.
Oh, yeah. I actually have that and I haven't watched the whole
thing. It's good. Yet. It's really good. It's really interesting. And they were showing, you know, like panels from the old comics. And in one of the panels, Aunt May just looked decrepit. And I'm like, wait, why is she so old? Doesn't make any sense.
Is she actually like Peter's, like, are they actually one of Peter's parents' parents? Like, are they his grandparents and he just calls them Aunt May and Uncle Ben? Because that happens sometimes too.
Well, that's just weird then.
It is weird, but that's the only thing I can think of. But it does seem like they're going in a little bit of a different direction with the reboot. They're casting people who aren't.
Yeah, Sally Field and Martin Sheen.
Right. Sally Field doesn't look that old.
No, I mean, she's like 60.
Yeah. That's not bad.
I'm just saying. My aunt's like 40.
Yeah. Well, they probably just have a big gap between. Whatever, between his parents and, I guess, I don't know.
It's like a teenager.
Different.
It's so weird to me.
It is a little strange. I never really thought about it, but yeah, I guess it makes sense. You would think just grandparents.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Speaking of Spider-Man, Dennis Leary has been cast in Spider-Man. Apparently, he is in negotiations to play Captain George Stacy, the father of Emma Stone's character in Columbia's new Spider-Man movie, which is not a huge role, I don't think, but I love Dennis Leary.
He's all right.
He's all right. He used to be my favorite comedian growing up.
I never really liked his comedy.
Nah.
I like the show The Job.
The show The Job?
Yeah, that he was on.
I do not know that.
Oh, it was a few years ago. It was before Rescue Me. It was like, you know, he tried to do a show when he was a cop and stuff. It was really good, actually.
I'm trying to think of why can't I think of the name of the movie he was in with Kevin Spacey?
The Ref?
Yes, love that movie.
It's a great movie.
Yeah. So he's good in that. It's probably one of his only good movies, actually.
Yeah, he didn't have very many.
No, unfortunately. There is a first look photo of Carl Urban as Judge Dredd. As previously reported, Carl Urban will be playing Judge Dredd in the upcoming reboot, simply titled Dredd. Courtesy of one of the film's concept artists comes the first look at Urban as Judge Dredd. And clearly I can't show people over the podcast what it looks like, but you can check it out on the Geek Generation site. Did you take a look at it?
No.
No.
I completely forgot.
You're killing me today, Todd.
Well, I didn't really care about it. Like, I like Carl Urban,
yeah.
But I just don't really care about Judge Dredd, you know what I mean?
Right. In all honesty, it doesn't look drastically different from Stallone. I would say the costume looks a little grittier, but how much can you really modify Dredd's costume without it being, like, far away from accurate? It's accurate to what the costume is, and that's basically it.
Yeah, I mean, there's only so much you can do.
Yeah. But that's out there for people who actually want to take a look at it. Yeah, I said it.
So passive aggressive.
I know, right? last story today. Warner Brothers plans a Wizard of Oz remake. Warner Brothers has plans to move forward with a remake of the classic The Wizard of Oz. They're planning to shoot from the script of the 1939 version. While rumors initially stated that Robert Zemeckis was attached to direct, this has since been officially denied. That's all I got.
It's ridiculous.
I don't think they should be doing this.
No, I'm usually one who's like, I don't care, remake it if you want, but I don't see the point in this.
I don't
either. This is the same, if not worse, than when they did Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I mean, these are beloved classics you're toying with here.
And they're shooting from the same script?
Yeah, what's the point?
Yeah, wouldn't you at least try and offer something new?
Yeah, at least that one that Sam Raimi and Robert Downey Jr. were going to do sounded different.
Right.
I think it was a sequel.
Well, yeah, that was supposed to be about the wizard, right?
Yeah.
And it was just going to be called Oz, which I don't think is necessarily out of production.
No, but Sam Raimi keeps getting attached to like 8 billion different things every day.
Yeah, so that's kind of
who
odd.
Who knows what's going to happen?
Guy's all over the place.
He really is.
He should just hang out with Bruce Campbell and be done with it.
Done.
Before we get into our rental recommendations, which I'm sure is going to take a little bit, it's probably a good time for another break.
Break
one off. We'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. This is Chris, your host for Geek Tech Live, the bi-weekly podcast that showcases tech news, reviews of consumer products and games, and I even get to talk to some of the movers and shakers in the world of geekdom. Occasionally, I even throw in a rant or two. So drop on by to geektechlive.com. See you there.
Hello, this is Ned Vizzini, author of It's Kind of a Funny Story, and you're listening to the Geek Generation Podcast.
We are back, and as we do every now and then. What?
I love that you chuckled to yourself as you brought yourself back in there.
Yeah, you're well, like, people aren't going to hear that because that's totally... Yeah. We're making reference to things people can't hear. I love it. You'll never hear it. It's off air. Yeah, well, you can. As we normally do with rental recommendations every now and then, myself and my co-host like to give you a list of movies, save you some time from watching a bunch of crap, or point you towards the ones that are gold. So we got a little bit of that going on right now. I have a pretty large list. I don't know. How many did you pick out, Todd?
It's all in my head, so I don't really know the exact number.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll throw out the first one then. The Ghost Rider. Have you seen it?
I love it.
Do you?
Yeah, I saw it in theaters quite a while back.
Actually. In theaters.
Yeah, I love that movie.
I did not care for it.
I really liked it a lot.
I thought the idea was really cool. It was kind of boring.
You're kind of boring.
The pacing just felt very, very slow.
No, it is. It's a very slow movie.
Yeah. And the ending, which I'm not going to give anything away, I was just like, well, what the hell?
What? It's one of the best shots like ever in the like the end of movie.
It was a creative shot. I'll give it.
It was awesome.
It was good from a cinematography point of view, but as far as story and everything, it was stupid.
No, it wasn't.
It was a dumb way to end it.
That was an awesome way to end the movie.
No.
That was the best way to end that movie.
Again, you're wrong.
No, you're wrong. You've never been wronger again. God, what is with you today?
So I've never been wronger, and then I've never been wronger again.
Yep.
Well, you're wrong about me being wronger.
I want to fight you.
Fight? Finish him. Fatality.
Get over here.
Toasty.
While we're at it, what do you have for your first one?
My first one would be, just because I watched it last night, it would be MacGruber.
Yeah. What do you think of that? Really?
Because it's the random humor, I told you. I love the random humor, and that's all that movie is. And it's a great-looking Blu-ray, and it has a good commentary, and I just highly recommend it.
MacGruber was actually my second.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And I said, don't bother.
I'm not surprised.
because I'm so wrong.
It's true.
MacGruber,
you've never been wronger yet again.
MacGruber, I was really, really excited for an R-rated SNL movie again. And I don't know. All the jokes fell flat for me.
It is. Well, I don't trust your sense of humor anyway, because you said the trailer for Your Highness looked horrible, and I've never laughed harder in a trailer.
Oh my God, that looks terrible.
It looks amazing.
The only thing that looks amazing in that is Natalie Portman's ass.
Turns you into a pervert. You're just a pervert.
That's fine.
I think
fine.
You look amazing.
No, that does not so look funny. Good at all.
What if he butt fucks her? Best line I've ever seen in a trailer.
That was a pretty funny line, but overall, no, not a good trailer at all. Not going to be good. And MacGruber's not good. The only thing about MacGruber that was good was the appearance and quick writing out of all the WWE characters.
No, the best thing about MacGruber was the two sex scenes.
That was just...
incredible. I'm going to shoot.
I could not help thinking what it was like. I think the problem with the movie is it took me out of the movie so much. I couldn't help thinking what it was like to film those scenes.
If your vagina is anything like my hand. I can't believe you didn't like that trailer.
I think a lot of the quotables are okay.
You're dead to me.
I'm dead to you and wronger than ever.
All right, so what's your next pick then?
Okay, I'll skip down to my next one, which is The Joneses.
Okay.
And I've heard you mention it before and that you were wanting to see it, and I think Hexagon said it was no good.
I don't remember what he said, yeah. I remember I just wanted to see it because I love David Duchovny.
Well, in that case, if Hexagon said it's no good, then he couldn't be wronger. Because I really like The Joneses.
I've heard good things about it. I just didn't get a chance to see it yet.
I thought it was really smart. Duchovny rules.
Yeah, he does. He always does.
Demi Moore is very good in it, and I know you said you don't like Amber Heard, but...
No, Hector said that.
Oh, I thought you did.
I said I could take or leave her. She's neither here nor there to me. She's pretty non-existent in most of the movies she's in.
Yep. So well, yeah, she wasn't a huge part of this, but she was good for what she was in it, and as was the guy who plays the son, who I don't even know what his name, Ben Hollingsworth, who That's I'm cool. not very familiar with, but I thought it was very smartly done, and actually, it makes you think if that really goes on to some extent within our society. I won't get into it much more than that, but
yeah,
it's very cool. I thought it was a great movie.
That's awesome.
Yeah. What else you got?
My next one would be because it came out on Tuesday, is Night and Day.
I just watched that the other night.
You probably didn't like it, but I love that movie. I love Tom Cruise. I'll watch him in anything. I think he's as charismatic as he's ever been in that movie.
I agree.
I love him in it.
I'm not going to say that I didn't like it, because that would be a lie, but I'm not going to say I loved it either.
I just think it's incredibly enjoyable. Like, it's such an entertaining movie. And I hate Cameron Diaz, so that's saying a lot.
I agree with you on multiple accounts there. I do think Cameron Diaz is slightly annoying, and ever since Something About Mary, I don't know, she's just bothered me, and that's quite a while. Yeah. But because she was great in The Mask. But Tom Cruise is good in it. It's very over the top.
Yeah, it's just a fun movie. That's why I liked it.
Right. And but if that's what you want. No, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Can we just talk for a second about how The Tourist looks exactly like it?
Yeah.
So much of the show, there's even a Muse song in the trailer.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Oh my God.
But it's like, it's role reversal, right?
Yeah. And like, everyone's going to go see it just because it's Johnny Depp and Angelina Jolie.
And yet, I really have no desire to see it.
No, me either. I think it looks horrible.
Yeah. I bet you Night and Day is actually better.
I wouldn't be surprised. It's Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
And it was shot in Boston.
That's true. They had a lot of Bostonian-ness going on in it.
It's true.
But yeah, it was weird at parts, I thought. But again, I can't say that I hated it, because I did enjoy it. I think I gave it like a 3 out of 5.
Are any of these actual recommendations?
Yeah, Jones's was.
Oh yeah, okay, I remember now.
Yeah, what's up? Short-term memory.
What's up,
short-term memory? It's going. It's just been a bad month of watching movies for me recently. It really has. But I really think we are still doing a service for people, even if I'm not recommending things, just because I'm saving them time.
Well, it's not a service, because I'm doing the exact opposite of what you're saying.
Well,
so now they're torn.
Then you're pointing them in the right direction, or they have to just trust whoever's opinion they trust.
I guess.
And they don't really... This is your first time doing this segment, so maybe they trust mine, or maybe they don't trust mine, so I don't know.
Who knows?
I'll see.
Have you seen How to Train Your Dragon yet?
I have, actually. I finally got around to it.
Did you like it?
Loved it.
Good. That a boy.
So good.
Movie's amazing.
Have a feeling it's going to end up on the top 10 of 2010.
I don't see how it couldn't. It's an incredible movie.
Yeah. Loved it. Loved it. Next one is Ondine.
What?
Ondine.
Oh, with Colin Farrell?
Yes. And other person who, no idea who that is and not sure if I can pronounce it.
Yeah.
I don't know how to say the name. A-L-I-C-J-A. Alicja?
Steve.
Steve's close.
Yeah.
Ondine is, I don't know, I saw the trailer and I was kind of fascinated by it, even though it just looked like a different take on Splash in a way.
Yeah, it's a mermaid story, right?
It's a mermaid story. But they throw a bunch of doubts in the movie as to whether or not she's actually a mermaid. So they go back and forth between, well, is she, isn't she? And I guess that's kind of the main thing in the movie. And I actually thought the story itself was really good. But the reason I'm going to say don't bother is because the way they shot it, this movie is so dark from a lighting perspective that half the stuff, you can't even tell what's going on.
Yeah, I always hate it when that happens.
Oh, that drives me crazy, because I think it really had potential to be a good movie. And like, the girl who plays his daughter is really cute, even though she's way too grown up for her age. And I think movies do that too often, but you have to have a nice balance. You can't make her so old that she seems older than the parent.
Yeah.
So they went too far with it. But overall, I don't know. I wouldn't rent it, because you're just going to get frustrated wanting to see the movie, and it's just going to be dark and bothersome.
It's too bad.
It is too bad. It really had a lot of potential. How about you? Next one?
This is a Blu-ray. And it has to be the Blu-ray. I don't care what anyone says. It has to be the Blu-ray. Because it's the point. It's the point of why I'm recommending it. The Beauty and the Beast Blu-ray... it just looks amazing.
Really?
Like, I don't know what it is about Disney, but they make the best Blu-rays. Like, Pinocchio looks incredible. Snow White looks incredible. Beauty and the Beast now looks incredible. Fantasia just came on Tuesday. I need to pick that up.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, seriously, it looks gorgeous.
Well, Disney movies look gorgeous to begin with, but you're right. I haven't actually watched a Disney movie on a Blu-ray yet, aside from Pixar.
Oh, you have to.
But, yeah, I really want to. And I actually want to pick up some of those older movies on Blu-ray. Like, I love The Lion King.
I do, too. I wish it would come on Blu-ray.
And Aladdin. Aladdin was amazing.
Yep, another one that hasn't come out and probably won't for a long time.
That bothers me.
The next two that are coming out are in February and March. It's going to be Alice in Wonderland and Bambi.
I really don't have interest in getting either of those.
Exactly. I don't know why they're releasing all these old ones when everyone wants The Lion King and Aladdin.
Exactly. Love Aladdin. So good.
And Lilo and Stitch and Emperor's New Groove.
Oh, Lilo and Stitch.
Yeah. I love those.
Emperor's New Groove I have not seen all the way through.
It's so funny.
I really liked it, but I was watching it in college, and someone had downloaded it, and it was only half the movie, and then the rest of it didn't work.
I think it's really funny.
Yeah. I'd definitely give it another shot. I really liked Lilo and Stitch, though. Sometimes I forget about it, because it is one of the more modern ones, but Stitch is one of the best Disney characters ever.
Yeah, and there's a great like ride-type thing at Disney with Stitch now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It took place of the old Alien one in Tomorrowland.
Yep.
And it's just really cool. Like, you're sitting in this thing that have, like, these compressors on your shoulders, and you're being let in by one of the Martian thing, whatever. And Stitch gets lowered in the middle of the room as a prisoner, and he breaks out, and all the lights go off, and he's jumping around, and you can feel him jump on your shoulders because of that thing that's on your shoulders.
Nice.
And you can hear him and feel him, like, sniffing around in your head and stuff.
That's so cool.
It's really cool, yeah. It was really funny.
Disney rule. I gotta go back.
Yeah, you do. ASAP.
My next movie is Death at a Funeral, which is another one of these wonderful remakes.
I love the original.
I have not seen the original.
What is the matter with you? Like, why would you watch that piece of crap if you haven't seen the original?
It came out this year. I watch everything that came out this year. Just about.
You make me sick.
Yeah, me too. Death at a Funeral was terrible.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah. And every review I read on Netflix after watching it, it was just people saying, watch the original. Save yourself the time.
And what doesn't make any sense to me is it's the same, like, writer.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's the same guy who wrote it.
I don't know. It was not. Chris Rock in movies.
Yeah, I could do without him.
They don't go well together.
Chris Rock and anything don't go well together. I don't like his stand-up either.
No?
No.
Huh. I enjoy it. He's a funny guy. Do you have any others?
Yes. I watched this weekend. I know, I'm on a Disney kick. But there's this documentary called Frank and Ollie. And it's about two of the, quote-unquote, nine old men from Disney who were animators, like traditional animators.
Okay.
And they were there from the beginning. They, you know, they were on Snow White and stuff.
Yep.
And it's just a really entertaining documentary about these, like, and now they're, like, well, they're dead now, but when it came out in 95, there's, like, these two old, really happy guys, and it's just going about, like, how these two guys were the reason all the Disney characters got so much personality in them.
Very cool.
And it shows them, like, acting out scenes that they animated, and it's just really cool. It's a really cute documentary, and I highly suggest you get it. It's on Netflix.
Cool.
Not on Watch Instant, but it's on Netflix, and I really think people should see it.
Sounds good. I'd be down for that.
Yeah, it's really good.
A good documentary is few and far between sometimes.
Actually, another Disney one just came out on Tuesday that I hear is amazing. It's called Waking Sleeping Beauty.
Really?
And I really want to see it. It's about how Disney was going down the tubes in like the early 80s, like late 70s, and how they were very close to being sold until like all of a sudden they hit their renaissance in 84 with like Little Mermaid. And they went into like the golden age, obviously.
Right.
But even in Frank and Ollie, they talk about how they were close to being sold for years in the beginning because none of their movies made any money.
That is so shocking.
Yeah, the whole Disney phenomenon is just really fascinating to me, and I've actually put a bunch of books about Walt Disney and stuff on my Amazon wish list because it's just such a fascinating story. Like the fact that like none of those old movies made money, like two of them did. Like Snow White did just because it was the first, and I think Bambi did, but everything else lost money up until Jungle Book. If Jungle Book didn't do well, the company would have been sold.
Wow.
But it did incredibly well, and I still think it has a lot to do with because Walt Disney died while making it.
Oh, yeah.
But then they went to a drought. Like, Black Cauldron came out and tanked. Robin Hood came out and tanked.
Even though they're so good.
I know, right? It's weird.
That's shocking.
But that's what Waking Sleeping Beauty is about. It's about how they were in like such dire straits until Little Mermaid came out. And how everywhere between Little Mermaid to The Lion King were just like this huge string of hits that was like unprecedented in any movie studio.
Yeah, they really did go on a tear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it came out on Tuesday and I really want to see it.
Sounds cool.
Waking Sleeping Beauty.
Speaking of documentaries, my next one is a documentary as well.
Do it.
I Am Comic.
Oh, I put that on my watch instant list. I haven't watched it yet, though.
Really liked it.
Really? I heard
really did. Anyone that's interested in stand-up comedy, even just the process of how comedians come up with their jokes, what it's like to have the life on the road and all that stuff, there are a ton of famous comedians in this and some that are not as famous, but it is a phenomenal look at the stand-up industry. And one of the most touching parts for me watching it is that two people in particular, Robert Schimmel and Greg Giraldo, both recently passed, and they are both parts of this DVD. So it's really kind of cool to watch something they were a part of right before they unfortunately left us. But I Am Comic, great movie.
I really like Greg Giraldo.
Yeah.
Really
funny guy, funny guy.
Yeah, he's hysterical.
He really is. Anything else?
Yeah, I have two more.
Awesome. I think that's pretty much what I have. Yeah.
Awesome.
Perfect.
And they're both on Netflix Watch Instant.
Cool.
The first one, people probably won't care, but I really like the show. I hated the first season, but they're both the first and second season are on Netflix Watch Instant now, and it's Parks and Recreation.
Oh, yeah, yep.
I really didn't like the first season at all, and I wasn't going to give the second season a chance, but it's on in between shows I like, so mm-hmm. we watched it. And the second season is so good. And on Sunday, I actually watched episodes 1 through 17. In
oh,
a row.
Wow.
The show is just, I can't stop watching it. Like, I've already seen them all. This is like last year when they aired. But they're just so fun. Like, the acting is awesome. The obvious ad-libbing is genius. And it's just a really fun show, and I really hope people give it a chance when it comes back in January.
If I wasn't so afraid of people ruining particular shows for me, I think I would watch most shows a whole season at once. I really like doing that as opposed to waiting a week and seeing the next one. I feel like I'm involved in the story a lot more. Like I did that. I only got into Dexter, I think, halfway through the second season.
That's how I was, I think.
Yeah, but when I watched it, and I did the same with Lost. Lost I didn't get into until right before the last season. But when you go back and you watch a whole thing all together, it just feels like a better story.
It does. My beautiful wife and I, Kate, we do that with Fringe. We wait till the DVD comes out and we watch it.
Yeah, and if I wasn't so afraid of having people ruin Dexter for me, I would continue to do it. But I am kind of tempted to stop watching a lot of the shows I am right now and waiting for the seasons to come out because I really, really do enjoy watching it as a season all together at once.
Yeah, like sitting down to watch 17 episodes of Park Recreation was really fun. Like, you know, you don't have to worry about commercials. Like, it's just awesome.
Yeah, it is phenomenal. My next one on my list is really no surprise. Jonah Hex, don't bother. Just don't.
I won't.
Don't. It has nothing to do with Jonah Hex.
What? The fact that you like it?
No, well, no. The character in the movie is not it's not Jonah Hex. Like, the guy's
Jonah
got...
Jonah Hex.
They gave him superpowers.
Nice.
The Jonah Hex in the comics has no superpowers.
Now I want to see it.
And Megan Fox continues to not be able to act.
And be ugly.
Be what?
With gross thumbs.
What? Oh my god, you're a freak.
She can't text.
The only part about the movie that has any redeeming quality is that the villain is John Malkovich.
All right.
And even given that, still not one of his best performances.
I didn't expect it to be in that movie.
Yeah, it's a total pile of, you know.
S.
Excrement.
Gross.
Yeah. Your turn.
My last one is Bronson. It's my mission to have everyone in the world watch this movie.
Please explain it to me.
It's on Netflix Watch Instantly.
Okay.
It stars Tom Hardy from Inception.
Oh, yes.
As Charlie Bronson, Britain's most famous criminal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really bizarre movie in how it's shot and stuff, but it's so beautifully done. It's like he goes to jail for like robbing like a jewelry store or something like that.
Yep.
And is in jail for a good like 30 years, and he's still in jail now in real life because he just keeps beating the shit out of everyone in jail.
Oh my god.
Yeah, he keeps getting put in solitary confinement. They put him in a mental institution. They take him out of the mental institution because he tries to kill someone there, and he goes back to jail and in solitary confinement. He's been in like solitary confinement for like 10 years at a time. But the movie is like a really dark, hysterical. Like, it's really funny, and Tom Hardy puts in an incredible performance.
A good dark comedy is always good, especially
it's
if Tom
incredibly
Hardy's in it.
It's incredibly dark. Tom Hardy's amazing. He's naked a lot in it, though, so I don't know if you're into that sort of thing. But he's hysterical. he's so good in it, and I really think he should have got nominated for it.
I'm not going to say I'm into it, but if the movie's good enough, I can overlook it.
No, you have to watch it as soon as you possibly can.
I'll check it out.
Oh, my God. It's so good. Tom Hardy's amazing in it.
Well, I don't feel nearly as bad for telling people to stay away from so many movies because you had a lot of recommendations. So,
well, I almost never watch things I don't like. You know what I mean?
Well, see, like, I watch things I wanted to like Jonah Hex. And a lot of these movies I wanted to like. Like, I wanted to like MacGruber, and then it just wasn't that good. But
I don't know what it is about. Sometimes in the movies, I don't – like, when I go to the theater, I have more problem with it. But for some reason, when I watch things on DVD and at home and stuff – I usually pick things I know I'm going to like, and then I do like it.
Well, I've also made it my job to watch pretty much everything that comes out as much as I can just for the sake of this.
I can't anymore.
Yeah, I don't know how I fit the time in, really. But the only problem is I'm running into the fact that I can't watch the movies again that I really like because I don't have the time. I have Get Him to the Greek with me tonight. I don't necessarily want to watch it because
I think
it's going to be...
That's a recommendation for me. I love that movie.
Do you?
Yeah, I loved it a lot.
See, I loved Forgetting Sarah Marshall. I thought it was really good, even though I wasn't sure I was going to like it. I really, really liked it. But I was worried that this would totally ruin it for me.
I don't think it does at all.
Okay.
I think it's really, really good.
Well, you're the second person that's told me it's worth watching, so that makes me a little more
It's really good, and it also has like a lot of heart in it, too, kind of like Forgetting Sarah Marshall did.
Oh, good. All right. Well, then, okay, I'm going to be okay with it. I'm going to watch that tonight then and enjoy it.
Wicked good. That and Bronson. Watch that and Bronson. Tonight.
I will. Well, I do have to edit the show, too.
Oh, yeah. Do that, too.
Yeah, do that, too.
And then watch Bronson three times in a row.
Well, I can tell you a movie I'm not going to watch again because it's my last one. And actually, this is the worst movie I've watched all year.
What is it?
Do you want to guess?
Do I want to guess? Avatar.
It's not Avatar.
give me an actor.
Oh, God. I think it's obvious. Ben Stiller.
Stiller.
Mm-hmm.
What has he done? Night of the Museum 2?
No. Well, I didn't even bother with that one. I have limits. Greenberg, yeah. Did you watch Greenberg?
I did. I saw it in theaters.
Did you like it?
It was all right.
I think it was the worst movie I saw this year.
It wasn't terrible to me, but I was expecting a lot more when I saw it.
I expected like a quirky indie type comedy feel, and I don't like Ben Stiller to begin with, so this wasn't starting off on a strong foot, but I really wanted to give it a chance because I heard a lot of people say that he's really good in it and the movie is pretty good, but
I think he's good in it. I think he does a good job of what he's doing in it, but I can't stand the chick, Greta Gerwig.
Yeah, she was not
good. She made me so mad while I was watching it.
She was not good. And the movie is just kind of frustrating.
It is. Like, it's very frustrating.
I don't understand the point.
Yeah, I understand. I think I said something like that when I had my review like a few months ago when I saw it.
Yeah.
I was impressed.
I just don't understand why someone would sit down and write this story and say, okay, this is it. And then someone reads through the script and goes, yeah, let's do that.
Well, that's how Noah Baumbach does.
Yeah.
I mean, The Squid and the Whale is incredibly uncomfortable, too.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know. I guess it's a slice of life. Like, I've heard you use that term before in reference to some movies.
Yeah.
But you're right. There's no point. It might be just a demonstration of something that happens in real life, but that's not why I'm watching a movie.
Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah. So, I don't know. That was probably the worst thing. I gave it 1 out of 5 because there are people that are acting in it. So, I had to give it a 1.
I think everyone should go see 127 Hours.
Yeah, I read your review on that. And I've heard nothing but good things about it. And I'm torn between my desire to really want to see it based on everyone's recommendation. And James Franco's great. And that and the... okay, maybe you can answer this for me and this will convince me. What's the level of gore with the whole arm thing?
It's pretty brutal at that part, but it's like a 5-minute scene, if that.
Okay. I think I might be able to handle it then.
If not, just look away.
Yeah.
Because it's not
really,
a very long scene.
Really don't like gore in movies.
So look away.
Yeah. I made it through Saw, so I think I can make it through.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even though Saw
is worse.
Oh, well, no doubt.
That part is so brutal, but it's so amazing. And James Franco is incredible in it.
Yeah, I'll check it out. It's been hyped up enough that
if he doesn't win an Oscar, I'll cut my arm off.
Really?
Yeah.
That good?
He's amazing in it.
Wow. Well, then I have to watch it.
You do. You really do.
And that was all you had, right?
Yep.
Well, that's all I got, too, so that's pretty good. Well, then we'll start doing our checkouts here, because this is about a good running time for our return. I'm going to remind the audience of the poll question this week. What is the greatest piece of sci-fi tech? Send that to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com or @geekgeneration on Twitter. Again, if you want to meet us or just watch us make idiots of ourselves in public.
Not possible.
Well, for you, I'm very capable. with all my wrongness. Todd and I will be at the South Coast Toy and Comic Show this Sunday, December 5th. From 10 to 4 at the Seaport Inn and Marina in Fairhaven, Mass. Go to www.sel.
In the celebrity room.
In the celebrity room, no doubt. We are celebrities. We made it, Todd.
We did.
We have made it.
I'm going to be giving out buttons and flyers.
www.southcoasttoyandcomic.com for details on that show and to get tickets if you don't want to buy them at the door. Do you have a final thought or anything you'd like to plug today?
Yeah, I am the co-host of an incredibly popular podcast called Dangerous Memories at www.hectorandtodd.com. We're available on iTunes. And I would never do this, but we want more answers next week because we're going down to our one movie a week.
Oh.
So we want more listener response. And our poll this week is, what is your favorite holiday movie? Or to watch around Christmas time?
You're going
to
confuse the hell out of my fans.
I know. But if they get a chance, just email us or just go to our website and you can find our email address.
Why don't you can give it out. That's fine.
Are you sure?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it's just hectorandtodd@gmail.com. What is your favorite movie to watch around the Christmas time holiday season?
So answer the Dangerous Memories poll, but not until you answer our poll.
Yeah, exactly. Answer Geek Generation first. But make sure your priorities are straight.
That's right. Unless, of course, you're listening to Dangerous Memories and you're just here to hear Todd, and then you don't even bother with us. That's fine.
Let's be honest. There's probably a lot of them.
There's probably a lot of them.
Podcast.
You are. Celebrity room. Okay. if you like the show, I ask you to please tell your friends, spread the
word. I'll be wearing an ascot.
Oh, no. you're going to embarrass me in public?
No, I won't. I swear.
I'll embarrass you. You just wait.
I might wear a shirt and tie.
Oh, really?
And a smoking jacket.
That'd be awesome. Then I will dress up as a Playboy bunny.
Nice. I'm in.
Sweet. All right. If you want to visit the site to see some of the articles we have there, including a very soon to start 25 Days of Christmas daily countdown by fairly new author to the site, Megan Hanley. She will be writing the 25 Days of, did I say of summer before?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. I was just thinking 500 Days of Summer in my head.
It's a good movie.
25 Days of Christmas, counting down the top 25 movies that are Christmas related or take place during the Christmas time, but are not necessarily Christmas movies, if you get my drift.
I get it.
Okay. Well, those will be going on.
I helped
on.
Her with the list.
Did you really?
I was asked for help on it.
Oh, excellent. Well, then Todd's input will, I'm sure, be felt throughout the list over
the list
and over
will
again.
Reek of me.
It will reek of Todd. But all that stuff will be at www.thegeekgeneration.com. You can enjoy it. While you are there, please, please, please write a review in iTunes and subscribe to the show in iTunes if you have not already. Writing a review and rating the show does increase our visibility in the iTunes store, and we do want people to listen. There is a donation button on the site that nobody will ever use, and that is okay because I am making money through the Amazon affiliates, so I can't thank you guys enough again for doing that. If you have any questions, comments, insults, or topics you'd like us to discuss on a future show, send those to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com or @geekgeneration on the Twitter. If you'd like to submit an article to the site or an audio file to this show, send those to guest@thegeekgeneration.com. And as always, the show theme is provided by Machine Supremacy. A link to their site can be found on our site. Episode 19 in the bag.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here.
I loved every second of it.
And again, Sunday. Sunday! Sunday!
You've never been wronger.
Yeah, you're right. I think that's the name of the episode. Pretty sure. I am wronger, or could not be wronger. Yeah, whatever. I'm an idiot. I'm just going to say I'm an idiot. That's the name of it. Rob's an idiot. And Todd's reeking of awesomeness.
Reeking of it.
Reeking of it.
But you can smell it all the way from over there.
That is disgusting. And on that note, we are out of here. We will see you next time on The Geek Generation.